Can you hear me? Salof, everyone. My name is Davis. I have the privilege and honor to share with you about Launch Youth Nu'u, as you can see. I'm here to talk to you about something that is deep in my heart, about our community, something that's real close, but also the mission that we are out to create a village for our young people, a place where young people feel like they're being seen and valued and supported. And here at Launch Youth Nu'u, we strive to offer more than just a program. We want to offer a home, a community that reflects the teaching ways and life of Jesus. But not just to young people that are in church, to all young people. As Lily beautifully read John 10 for us this morning, in John 10:10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and life to the full." This fullness of life is what we want to create here at Launch Youth Nu'u. A life rooted in belonging, a life rooted in guidance, and a life rooted in transformation. Also, the courage to contribute. All these values that we want to talk about today is based on the life of Jesus and the mission that he calls each of us into. So this morning, I just want to share three key insights to who we are in the heart of our mission here at Launch. Three powerful illustrations of the faith that are timeless and have inspired us and has shaped our journey as Launch. I also want to provide a space to share three stories, real lifetime stories about the work that we've done and about how we feel called and how it's impacting young people in our community right here in Palmerston North. And lastly, I hope to address some of the common misunderstandings. I hope that we can answer some of them as we share this morning, as we connect about the needs that we're serving with young people. And to maybe at the end, for all of us as All Saints whānau, to think again, what could the mission that Jesus is calling us into be like for us right here, right now, in the space, place, and time you sit in right now? So let's start with number one, belonging. One of the most powerful examples of belonging is the story of the prodigal son. No matter how far the son wandered, his return was met with open arms. This is the essence of what we want to create here at Launch Youth Nu'u. It's a place where young people, no matter their past, can come and find acceptance and love and the sense of home. Here at Launch, we want to be the village that says, "Hey, we've been waiting for you." This is where we've seen healing happen. The father in the parable reflects the heart of Jesus, welcoming those who feel lost and disconnected. We have the sense that Jesus is calling us, Launch, into this space to create spaces where young people can know that they belong, no matter where life has taken them and how dark and cold it may feel. We want them to know that they are never alone. So I'm just going to invite my brother Stu, who works here for one of the services here, Whakapaiha Order, to share. He's part of our team here at Launch.
Talofa love, everyone. My name is Satoe Fata. I look around here and I see some people that are familiar to me. Some of you might know me. I worked at Cafe Express for 10 years. I was a barista there. So some familiar faces from here. But today, I want to talk to you about some of the work that I've been doing in the community. But one of the verses I want to share with you is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I was chosen to run a youth program for at-risk youth. I started with maybe two young people and it branched out to about 15. This was run through Te Aroa Noa Community Services. I met this young man. He was a Pākehā young man. I walked up to his house. We had really set it up with the mum that I was coming. And I knocked on the door and he opened the door. And when he approached me, I said to him, "Jacob." And then he was like, "Mom." And then that was the beginning of our interactions. So he has come from a solo mum. He wasn't at school. He was just sitting around at home. And as we know, the prodigal son had it all, but he gave it all away. And this young man, he needed someone to show him the way. And that's how we are with Jesus, right? He is here to show us the way. So I like saying this to all the churches that I go to. If Jesus was to come here today, are you ready? Is there something that you're holding back? Are you saving your money for some particular reason? If Jesus came back today, would you be ready? And so that's kind of the way that I interact with the young people, is that being a Christian, I have to be Christ-like. I need to walk alongside these young men and young women. The program was geared around supporting young people that are not in school. So obviously they've been kicked out of school. They come from gang-related families. Alcohol and drugs are involved. But this Pākehā guy, Jacob, he was not really involved in all that kind of stuff, but he was placed in between these young men and women where their language is colorful. And so for me, when they arrived into my program, there are two pillars that I use, and that's respect and honesty. If you get those two right, we'll get along nicely. And so I just drilled it into them every day. One thing that I would like to say is us as Christians, as us working with people in the community, is that repetition is key. Okay, if you have a brother or sister, or auntie, uncle, that's not coming to church, and you know you've got to pray for them. I've got an older brother who was in church when I was younger, but he left because of a relationship breakup with my dad. Still hasn't come back to church, but I still pray for him every day. But when he comes to Palmerston North, he actually comes to church. So I know it's still in there, it's still in the brain. But let's get back to Jacob, eh? Jacob, he was looking for guidance. He needed some sense of belonging. And so I managed to create the safe space where I looked out for this young man amongst these other young people. And so it was just about learning how creating those relationships with people that we probably don't associate with. But I could see his potential. So I said to him, hey, you know, when I'm working with young people, I ask them, what are your goals? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? And so he had three. First one, he wanted to be a photographer. And I was like, oh, how's that going? He says, oh, I've got the oldest phone, and I go to Speedway, and I try to take cool photos, but they're all blurry. And I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. Okay, what else? And then he's like, oh, I really would like to get a job, because my mom, she works at Pack and Save, and she doesn't give me any money when I go hang out with my friends, so I feel shame, and I just stay at home. So I said, oh, yes, so we need to get you a job. Okay, what else? He couldn't think of one, and then I said to him, hey, I see you riding around on your push bike wearing a road bike helmet. So how does that feel? Cool, eh? And he was like, yeah. But I was like, yeah, but if you want to get a partner or a girlfriend, this, oh, you probably need to move it up to a scooter, maybe move it up to a car. You know, we're just thinking futuristically now. And he was like, oh, yeah. But, you know, he's got that I don't have any money, so he doesn't have that goal as a goal. So I said to him, let's put it on there. And then one thing that cracked me up was his mum would call me up all the time and like, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. And I'm like, hey, man, it's after five. Nah, I'm kidding. I said, okay, so let's talk about it. How's it going? Tell me. She would say, oh, he's not doing the dishes. He's not making his bed. He's not doing his washing. And I was like, oh, typical teenager, right? So I'm just listening to her. And I think she felt validated that someone was listening to her. So I said to him, it sounds like you need to move out of home, but you're only 15, so let's just hold off there. So I worked with Jacob for 3 years. So for 3 years, I was slowly building up his confidence, slowly showing him that, hey, if you go down this pathway, this is what you get. If you go down this pathway, yeah, not good. So in the end, when I say putting in that time, putting in that effort, help him feel his sense of belonging, Jacob in the end was spotted at Speedway by one of these, a manager of some sort, and was asked to be a photographer for Speedway Picks, and they even supported him in buying him a brand new camera. So got him a camera, that was one down. So he does Speedway Picks now, he goes to Speedway, he's down there, he's got the official, you know, vest on, taking photos. And then I asked him about his job, you know, so I helped him out with CV, helped him to get out there, what do you like to do? And he likes cars, obviously. And so he managed to score a job at Jutech. So he started getting some money, starting getting his way. He ended up getting a scooter. But then I was saying to him, like, you know, I was hanging out with him. I was like, bro, what if it rains, though? And you had, you know, your partner on the back. She's going to get wet. And he was like, yeah, hey, I've got to get my license. So he started working on it, and then he texts me and goes, come around. I came around to see him. He had a road bike. And I was like, that's not even better than the scooter. So I said, hey, man, you need to step it up. And then one day he gave me a call and he said, look out the window. And he finally got a car. So he got a car and he was real proud to show me. But I said to him, why did you bring your car here? And he goes, oh, because you got a full license and you can take me around. And I was like, oh, I knew there was more to it. And then one day his mum rang me and said he's ready to go. I said, what do you mean? So I've had enough of him. He can go now. And I was like, so what do you want me to do? And she goes, get a trailer, bring a truck, whatever you need to do, get his stuff and get him out of here. So I was like, oh, we're on. Okay. So I said to him, hey, mate, do you have a friend that's got a trailer? He goes, yeah, I got a friend. Picked up the trailer, came back, got all the stuff in the car, got his bed onto the trailer, and I didn't have a tie down, and we found a power cord. So we were like, this is how we do it here in New Zealand. And so we just tied it on, made sure it's all tight and safe. And then we drove off and we got into his new flat. So he moved into a flat. And recently he just texted me and said he's moving into another flat. So from this guy who was like had no direction, had no purpose, was looking for a sense of belonging, I found out that, you know, all you need to do is give them time. Like your family members that are not here at church, like your family friends, time. Just spending time with them. And so one of the questions that young people ask me as I'm finishing up is, why are you always happy? Why are you always smiling? You know, because they're coming from broken homes. I said to them, look, first of all, I'd like to say that this is an opportunity for me to say that I'm a Christian. And that's why I'm happy, because I believe in Jesus. I believe there is hope, and I believe in you. And so they were always like, oh, yeah. And then the questions start happening, and that's where the Holy Spirit can take over. You know, I opened the door, stepped in, allowed that to happen. And so this was an opportunity for Jacob to learn more about Jesus too. And he has come to church a couple of times. And from there, it's up to him, eh? And I leave it to the Holy Spirit. But a verse that I want to leave with you is one that I use throughout all of my life and through all of my struggles and tribulations and the good times is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Thank you so much. God bless.
And I just want to move now. Thank you, Stu. Move into point number two, guidance. In John 10, Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. And he cares for them. Here at Launch, this is what we do through the form of mentoring. Making accessible to have one-on-ones, group mentoring. Mentoring through schools, through community services. We've been doing some work with police at the moment. Our heart is that it's important for us to actually walk with our young people, to go on that long journey. In the series where Chris was talking about growth, there was something he said. He said that in one of his series, he said, none of us are self-made. All of us have had people that have walked alongside us. Like Jesus, the Good Shepherd, this is what we want our mentoring to actually look like in Anu'u. We have our chief navigators, our apprentice navigators, our team who are mentors in our community who are dedicated to walking alongside our young people, offering advice, guidance, but rooted all in the love, just like Jesus did. We are here, we want to help navigate young people, like Stu said's most challenging circumstances in life. Ensuring that no one is left behind. And in the words of Jesus, where he sacrifices his flock and he walks out, leaves the 99 to go for the one. As a community, we want to look like Jesus in us. We want to provide support, protection, and guidance. I'm just going to invite up the brother Ben to share his story of guidance with us this morning.
Hello. Oh, sick. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Cool. So I've been asked to come up and share a story from my journey with guidance or guiding some young people. And I guess I'll start by sharing like what I get up to or like what sort of areas of helping out with the youth. Other than youth group on Friday night, yeah, I do some boys group stuff on Thursdays. I also get to do some chaplaincy at Ross Intermediate now, which is cool. And I get to see three boys. And I also catch up with a few boys on Sundays to do some Bible devotions, some more smaller group stuff. But the story that I was thinking of sharing was one where I got to journey with a young person for a whole year doing some mentoring. And basically how it started was, I guess, one of the parents reached out and asked if they could have some mentoring for the young person. And yeah, we said, yeah, we'd love to have him come and join us. And so when this whole mentoring gig started, I think the young person, they were in a pretty tough spot, and they were very new to youth group as well. So it was cool to sort of get to know the young person through mentoring. And just yesterday, I got to catch up with the mom, and we got to sit down at her house and talk about what that was like for her from the parents' point of view, and what she thought was helpful. And so some of the things that she was saying, that she said the biggest thing for her son was having someone to talk to, having someone that that he can build trust with and open up to. Because she was saying a lot of the times this young person would just get stuck in their own head and just like keep a lot of stuff inside and let it build up. And so for that young person, we got to do a bunch of things like learning how to read the Bible. I just taught him some of my little tricks that I learned along the way. We also got to do some exercising at the gym as well, because that was one of the goals that we identified that he wanted to work on, was his physical health. And then a little bit down the track, an incident happened at a school which he was involved with. He wasn't at the center of the incident, but basically the incident involved vapes at school. And so he got in a bit of trouble, and we organized a mediation meeting with the school to try and figure out how to move forward, because basically at that point the school was ready to kick him out of the school. And I had the privilege of going into that mediation meeting as the only support person for this young person other than his mum. And when I was talking with his mum last night, she said that reflecting back on that mediation meeting, it was actually really helpful to have someone, I guess, like an external support person, someone who won't be biased, I guess, in the sense of like a parent. And so he's still in that school now, which is so cool. And what else do I want to say on that? honestly, I had so much fun mentoring this person and journeying with them. It was the first like official mentoring sort of gig that I got to do. And just as much as the young person learned from me, I learned from them as well. So much about myself, but also so much about young people. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
And our last point this morning, transformation. The image I want to share is the one in Acts 2, the community. Is a profound example of how transformation happens in fellowship. The early believers devoted themselves to teachings, the scripture, sharing meals, and being a unified body in Christ. One of the things here at Launch is we're committed to actually trying to create the same environment of shared life and mutual transformation. We want this nu'u to be a place where young people are empowered, equipped and inspired to contribute, actually, to their community. It's not just about receiving support. It's about being transformed in the way of Jesus, where we're able to lead and to actually give. Much like the early church, where people's lives were changed through connection and shared purposes, we want our village and its design to help youth thrive and become contributors to something much bigger than themselves. And last story of today, as I'm just going to write up the sister we need to share, her story.
Oh my goodness, thank you to my number one supporter back there. I feel so empowered now. Hi guys, my name is Winnie. You guys see me around and about sometimes, you know, just sulking or, you know, something. I promise I'm happy. But I'm just going to share about my transformation pretty much on how I was introduced to everything you see up there. So I was looking for a youth group once. Oh, not really. I was just jumping from youth group to youth group and I found it like boring. And then this led me to like this youth gathering, and there was a whole bunch of different youth groups there, and I was just there with my cousin and he left me and I was by myself. And so I went and found a seat, and then Odie came and sat next to me and we started talking. Yeah, Odie! And then it was time to go home. And I was like, oh, shoot, it's really late at night and I don't have a ride. I need to go choose a van to go home in. And so I went outside and I looked at the two vans and I was like, who do I trust to take me home? I mean, they're both youth pastors. And I was like, oh, yeah, that brown man with the tattoos. I'm going to jump in his van. So, that brown man was Davis, by the way. that pretty much was the start of it, because then he dropped me off home and he was like, oh yeah, see you next week. And you know, I was jumping out of the van and I panicked. I was like, yeah, see you next week. I didn't even know what I got myself into, eh? But then I came the next week with my cousin and I had fun. I loved it. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to come again next week. And so, I came more, and then now this is where it really started. I know I said that ages ago, but this is where it really started. It was when there was Tuesday prayers. I started going to the Tuesday prayers that was happening after school. And we were like on the way home, I think, with Davis, and I was pretty much ranting to him about how I didn't get house captain at school, and I had participated in every single thing every single year since year 9, and I didn't get noticed, and I didn't get house captain, and I was so gutted about it, and I was like, yeah, and now I'm going to drop out of school. Take that. And then he was like, oh, you know what? You can be a junior leader here. And I was like, whoa, yeah, I can be a junior leader here. That didn't stop me from dropping out of school, though. But I was a junior leader, and I loved it. And so that was at the end of 2019. So, yeah, I became a junior leader, started journeying with youth, grieved the fact that I'm not a youth anymore and I can't have fun, but junior leader, being a junior leader is fun as well. And so at the end of the year, Davis sat me down and he was like, hey, there's this internship thing. Do you want to do it? And I was like, oh, yeah, let me go ask my mom. Went and asked my mom, and she was like, hey, do they think, like, you're poor or something? Like, do they think you really need help? And I was like, I don't know, go talk to Davis. She talked to Davis, and then it was set. So I started doing the internship here at All Saints Church. And, yeah, I didn't even know what I was getting myself into, but I was like, oh, it's Davis. I'll just go do it anyway. So... sorry, Davis. So, yeah, I did that, became a senior leader. And just in the first year of living with Davis and journeying with All Saints, there was so much, like, change. It was almost too overwhelming And but it was good. There was not a time where it got really hard and I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this stuff anymore. This is boring. And sorry, Andrew. And also staff meetings are like making me fall asleep. I love them now. I love them now. But yeah, there was not a time where I was like, I don't want to do this internship stuff anymore. This is like really boring. There was not a time where I was like that, except, yeah, I won't go there. Sorry, Andrew. But yeah, it was really challenging, but it was also very healing. Like, there were so many things that I healed from that I didn't really know that I healed from. And it was like small things like going to sleep with the light off, or like not like shaking, trembling and crying while I'm like talking to big crowds of people, just small things like that. And like also accepting God's love, that was one of the biggest challenges for me. But slowly and slowly, from all the support that I got, yeah, I started to accept God's love. So over the 3 years I've been serving, I've been supported and cheered on, not only by the launch team, but also my All Saints family. And I see this as a reflection of God's love for me. And so, yeah, now I have the privilege of journeying with launch. And through launch and through All Saints, I can actively reflect God's love. Yeah, it's been a long 3 years, but I first came in with a passion for young people and a... not much else, like an NCA level 2 certificate or something. But yeah, it was great. And so last year I got baptized and that was really cool. And now I'm one of the key leaders for the youth group that I jumped in the van. Yeah, Glory Gang Youth. Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. by the way, guys. Yeah, and so I chaplain at Ross Intermediate. I do one-on-one mentoring. I'm a couple of weeks away from being a certified youth worker. Let's go. Yes, youth work. Yeah, I'm really content, and I can't wait to see where my faith takes me, and I'm really excited. And, yeah, it's been a really long journey, one of the most healing moments. This is how I know that I've healed from so many things. Sorry, Renee. It was a stormy night at KFC. Oh. And this was a really big God moment for me, because like I've never felt that feeling in my heart where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so loved. If this is what love feels like, what does God's love feel like? And so I thought someone forgot to pick me up from work, and it was literally like a hurricane outside. It was so stormy, rainy and cold, and I'm standing there in my shorts and t-shirt and apron like, hello, is anyone going to pick me up? And I started to get really sad. But then from what I've grown up with, because I came from a very rough background, and from all that I've known, it wasn't really a surprise to me. Like, I was like, oh, this happened. Okay, gotta like find a way home now. So then, as I'm waiting for my mum, because I called her up with the KFC phone, so embarrassing, oh my gosh. Hey, can I just use your phone real quick? No. I saw Renee pull up, and when she pulled up, I was like, oh yeah, but oh no, dang it, she had to come pick me up. And so from what I've known, I've always expected everything to like, you know, kind of be my fault, and it's okay with me because it's always my fault. And so I hopped in the car and I was like, okay, let me just, what is she going to say to me? And she turns to me and she's like, oh my goodness, are you okay? I'm so sorry, I forgot about you. And I've never had that type of reaction from an adult before in my life. And so that was like a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, she actually really loves me because she cares for me. And she didn't stick to the script. So, like, something's happening here. So, you know, I turned around to the other, like, window and I had a little cry. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she cares for me. I didn't know how to feel at that point except just, like, happy and excited that I get to live with this lady and her family. So, yeah, that was my transformation. Praise be to God. I'm going to go sit down now.
Thanks, Winnie, for sharing. I'm just going to close off here, but I wanted to give you just one slide to give you an idea of the real impact that we're having here. And some of you are teachers, so you understand that it's 10 weeks in a term, 4 terms in a year. In the last 7 years to 8 years, this is some of the work we've been doing. And so you will know this well. So I'm just going to get Tessa to pop up this slide. So here at launch, we have different islands, and different islands are different forms. They represent stuff like music, like dance, like in schools, like mentoring groups. They're all very different, all sports. Our next slide, this is the islands here, and Tessa will push a button, which will bring up the numbers. So these are the people that serve. William himself serves in us. We have in every island, there's a chief navigator. So someone who is the key chief in that island, who mentors the next person who's second in charge. If we can have that next button push, please. And with those people, here are some of the young people. Every line represents a young person. Now, there is way more than this within our group, but we thought we'd give you a snapshot, just a little snapshot of some of the things that we're doing, but also the permeation of our work and the testimonies that you're hearing that are embedded in our communities right now, that is shaping lives of young people in Palmerston North. And so I just want to say the power of community. None of this happens in isolation. The Nu'u is not just a program. It's a collective effort. It's built by the hands and the hearts and support of people just like you. Some people in this very room, some people who have gone, some people who have moved on, have mentored our mentors. And anyone here can be part of that. The whole point of this morning was for me to share, give you a little insight. I'm not recruiting, but hey, I'm just going to say, who am I to get in the way? If the Holy Spirit is stirring and is nudging you, I'm not going to get in the way. You can come to talk to me or any of the crew afterwards. We want it to be a shared journey to continue growing and impacting lives together. We've seen young lives transform. We've actually seen families restored. We've seen communities strengthen, all in the name of Jesus. And why does this matter? Did you know that in 2010, as I close, 60%, over half of the rangatahi here in New Zealand were growing up in homes without both natural parents. Did you know that? This means that they were then pulled into an adult world of divorce, custody, conflict. Now, if that's not bad enough, let's just go and layer some of the environment challenges that they face. Violence, poverty, addiction, including trauma, mental and physical health. 98% of young people we have worked with till this very day that have walked in that building, like Winnie, like your Jacobs, and like the young person that Ben talked about, have experienced, if not one, all of these paradigms. They did not ask to be put or to grow up in this space. But while I often speak about the misunderstood youth in our community, we're also seeing a growing number of young people who seem to have everything. Loving parents, stable homes, supportive families, and yet, despite this, they still feel disconnected. They still feel unseen, unheard, and at times, in their very words, said to me, empty. These challenges are incredibly difficult for our young people to navigate. They find themselves in circumstances that we couldn't even imagine, some of us. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if some of us right here today are sitting in these very seats, who are sitting right here, have faced similar struggles of your own. Some of us may be even carrying some of those burdens right now. And by the grace of God, you're here today. We're here today, finding hope and connection in this space. In a world that often pulls away from faith in Jesus, our mission at launch is to lean in, to be a beacon of connection and hope. And why do we do this? Because our deepest desire is that our young people are led to Jesus. Launch Youth Nu'u is not the destination. We are simply a vehicle pointing the way to Him. John 13, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, my followers, by the way you love one another. Because guess what? In the hands of Jesus, bread becomes more than a meal. It feeds multitudes. In the hands of Jesus, dirt isn't just earth. It restores sight to the blind. In the hands of Jesus, brokenness and sickness don't get the final say. He heals and restores. In the hands of Jesus, loneliness is no longer isolation. The great shepherd comes and seeks you out, seeks me out, seeks them out, and embraces them in the welcome and the whānau of the King. To all who have supported Launch Youth in any capacity, thank you. Whether you volunteered your time, given financially, prayed. I know people that have prayed lists and lists of all our rangatahi that we see. So this extends beyond that as well. Some have mentored, as I mentioned. You are part of the village. Your contribution matters, and they are changing lives right here, right now. So let's continue building this village. Follow the example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and offer a place, a space, where young people can experience what Jesus said in John 10:10, the fullness of life he promises you and I.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Absolutely fantastic. Just what Davis and the team do is really, really significant. I just want to overlay just one thing to explain where Launch Nu'uhu fits. Okay, so we have our All Saints Youth Program, which is our Friday night youth program, and they do some stuff with that. Launch Nu'uhu is a specific community launch program that is actually sitting underneath City Mission at the moment. So the organisational side of it sits under City Mission. So City Mission and All Saints are so closely interrelated and connected that it's almost like the same thing, but it is different. And so there are a whole lot of different things in the way that we see these guys going. So what I do know is that at this point in time, I don't think any of the Launch Nu'uhu people are being financially supported because we don't have funding for that yet. Okay, so that's in that City Mission realm. We employ Davis and Ben and Winnie to do the All Saints Youth thing. And that's we are very happy for them to use some of that time in that crossover space. But I think it's really important you understand where it sits. So that the whole Launch Nu'uhu program sits underneath the City Mission, realm for a period of time. So as we're trying to encourage them in what we're doing. And so Franco has got a lot to do with that. And we heard from Franco last week around what it looks like. And this is all around trying to build in this whole thing of growth for us, of what it means for us to have those arms and hands reaching out into our community. And we felt like this was the best way to do that. So I just wanted to clarify that so that you're clear where it sits. And again, if you specifically want to support Davis and the team and what they're doing at City Mission as well, look, have a yarn to them, talk to them about what that might look like. But thanks for that. Sorry, team. I just thought it was helpful to clarify some things.